Today we're talking about growing with joy, and as I was going through the lesson, I was just thinking of examples of joy. Joy is kind of a funny word if you really think about it. What is joy? And it just kind of came to me, some of the things, temporal things, as we nurture along our children, you know, we have the babies and they come along and they're crawling and you're working with them and you're trying to help them get up and, you know, they first start to stand and they wobble around. But when they finally make that walk and they take those steps, you just see on their face the joy that they've accomplished being able to do that. And you look at the parent's face and you see the joy that their child has done it. They've done it. They've gotten up. Now, after that, it changes a little bit because they get going. But that is a pure joy. And as it goes on, we raise our children up and we help them and we push them along and we give them our best advice as they go to go through their scholastics and through school. And when they accomplish that and they walk down that aisle, besides being proud, they get handed that diploma and you just see the joy that they were able to get through that and they accomplished that. And you have that joy like, all right, you've done it. Now you can go out into the world with something in your hand. Then we get to the part where they fall in love and they find a mate. Well, as they pursue that, they're doing what they've been created to do. They're finding a family, and there's that joy when they get wedding. They have their wedding there. They're married, and your joy, their joy. And then they get back into life, and, you know, it becomes work. It's, you know, they really have to work. You have to work at anything nowadays. So that's my thought of joy, and each one of you will have a different thought of what joy is temporally, you know, as we go through life. Our joy in worldly goals is brief and has to be pursued and worked to accomplish. It is only temporal and will not give you peace. Only through Christ Jesus can we accomplish that. We look for quick results. You know, we're in a society that we want everything quick. We can take a meal and throw it in the microwave and have a meal ready to eat, heat and eat in 3 minutes. No problems. We used to have to go to a video store. We used to have to drive to the corner, get a video, come home, put it in. Now you just grab your computer or your stream it live, and you've got your movies. You get into the infomercials, and guess what? You can go on and you can buy pills that you take for a month and you lose weight. You don't have to go out and exercise, or you got the ab crunchers and that doesn't take a lot of work, but it doesn't last, does it? I tried that once, and I think I took off like maybe 25 pounds, and then I put on 35. So much for that. Today we're going to take a study into the joy, and if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Philippians 3, 12 through 21. And just a little synopsis before I read through that. Although at this time, you have to think where Paul was. He was chained to a Roman guard waiting for trial by Caesar. Paul found joy in focusing his attention on the prize of complete spiritual maturity in Christ. He warned the Philippian believers about false teachers, worldly desires, and exhorted them as citizens of heaven to imitate him in forgetting his past and pursuing them together the goal of Christlikeness until they receive the reward of glorious transformation in the presence of Christ. You know, it just kind of thought to me that's one of those things that Harold Baker found. And that's one of the things that I certainly pursue in my life. And what he says in Philippians is, We'll start at Philippians 12. Not that I have already obtained, or am I already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting that what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join me in Brothers, join me in imitating me. Keep your eyes on who's who. Walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross. Their end is destruction. Their God is belly, and their glory is their shame, and their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior and a Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like the glorious body of the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. Excuse me. Looking through some things, it occurs to me that each day is an opportunity to become more like Christ. From the moment we wake up in the morning to the moment we go to bed at night and close our eyes, it's an opportunity. I was reading something and I'd like to share it with you, and this is kind of where the Bible meets life. This is a fact. Over 500,000 people show up each year to watch over 35,000 runners in the Boston Marathon, preparing to run 26.2 miles is incredibly difficult. It was the same for the 36,000 runners and planned to run the 2014 Boston Marathon, with one exception. They carried something extra: the emotion of running that historic race 1 year after it was marred by the tragedy of 2013, when the two terrorists planted bombs, killing three people and injuring 260 others. Those of you that are old enough, I'm sure you remember that time. 1 year after the tragedy, Meb Kilzifalit, I can't pronounce that right, he wouldn't be deterred from running the marathon. He ran with the names of the previous year's victims written on his bib. He ran and he won. He was the first American to win in 29 years. And at 38 years old, he was the oldest person to win in over 80 years. As he crossed the line, people in the crowd were chanting, "USA, USA." He lifted his hands upward in joyful triumph. His hard work, endurance, paid off. The endurance it takes to run a marathon is a good description of the Christian life. Philippians 3. Paul used all analogy of running a race to capture his passionate, all-consuming desire to pursue Christ. The apostle's desire to run hard after Christ is a great example of how we strive to become more like Jesus Christ. It's a race that never ends till we obtain the prize. And make no mistake, Paul wasn't perfect, and he knew it. even though he'd grown in his walk with Christ, he wasn't content to stay there. He told the Philippians, he was, in verse 12, it said, making every effort. And that's what we need to do, is we just need to make every effort with the time that we have. In verse 13, he said, reaching forward to what's ahead. And that's our strive. We're reaching forward to the goal, to the prize. Pursuing the prize promised in Christ. Verse 14. And that's what it's all about. And that's what we're doing in our walk. And it's a daily thing. And once again, every day is an opportunity to become like Christ. Paul knew that truly chasing Christ meant forgetting two things. One is past failures. After being forgiven by Christ, our past no longer controls us. It doesn't control who we are. Christ has set us free. We don't let Satan bring past accusations against us because Christ has forgiven us. And that's in Romans 8, 33 through 34. Past achievements. Paul had more reason to be confident in his achievements than any of us. Yet he knew they were gifts from Christ and reasons to keep living obediently. Yesterday's victories are never excuses to live complacently today. Paul was running the race of faith and reaching toward the prize to know Jesus and be connected to the love, joy, and eternal person you were created to experience. Spiritual growth comes from the continuing outpouring of our relationship with Christ, not only to take hold of Christ, but to know that he's taken hold of you. It's not always an easy path to follow. Many things will come in our life as we go. I mean, there will be discouragements. There will be pain. There will be suffering. But the prize is at the end. And as we continue along, we look, and you know what? We have the victory. And so we just we strive ahead for the prize. As I mentioned a little earlier, I've gone through, and this is one of the traps. In 1965, the saving grace of Christ took my heart, and I knew what he'd done for me. But being so young, I was dragged off into the world. I mean, I grew up, I was dragged out, and as life went on in my younger years, I had done so many wrong things that I didn't look back at Christ because I felt like here's the one that had gone and bled and gave his life to save me. So for many years I lived under that feeling that I couldn't talk to him anymore because I'd really failed him. I still wrestle with that a little today. So much time that I didn't make use of. Don't make the same mistake. I suppose what really kind of set a fire under me was my father, who loved the Lord and followed him closely, and I watched him grow in his spiritual life. In 2000, I watched him pass away. About 15 minutes before he passed, he said, "Lord, I'm ready. Please take me home." Well, things don't always happen in our time frame. So about 15 minutes went by. He said, "Sit me up." So we sat him up. And he said, Lord, he said, I was ready to go home. Take me home. And he laid back and went home. And I said, man, what did I miss? What am I missing? Well, from that day on, my race started. I got into his word, and I read, and I worshiped, and I followed. And I saw the prize, and I know where the prize is. And I just continue my journey after the prize. Every day is an opportunity to become more like Christ. Don't miss that opportunity. And if you don't know Christ, I encourage you to come to him. And stay in the Word. The Word is God talking to you. You know, Christ came and he shed his blood, and you have to figure the human body. He's the heart. He is the heart of the body. He's the muscle. And we are the blood, and he's pumping us out into that body. And if you're not going out into that body's not being nourished. And there's parts of it that are going bad. My parts are going bad, but it's not because of that. It's because I was stupid and done a lot of things when I was younger that I shouldn't have. So, once again, as brief as this is, I just, at this point, got to kind of say, every day is an opportunity to become more like Christ. And maturity is not something you get by old age. I know some old people that aren't very mature in Christ, but it comes by relationship. So take the time. Spend the time. That's what we're here for. That's the opportunity we've been given. Jesus loves you. And he's called everybody sitting in here, whether you accept him or not. If you haven't accepted him, you're here because he's talking to you. I'm struggling a little bit now with my... After John told me to do this, he said, do you think you can fill in for me? I said, yes, John. He said, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, we don't have any visual aids people. So I said, okay. And we don't have any sound people, or we don't have the prayer leader. Okay. And the secretary's not here, so we can't print anything up. Okay. And of course, Michelle leads the worship, so she won't be there. Okay, Lord. You know, let's do this. So here we are. But we're all here for the same reason, because we love Christ. And we're working on a relationship to follow.